Good morning. Well, today we're going to look at words of endurance. According to the Webster Dictionary, it means to tolerate, endure pain, suffering without flinching. I didn't realize it was that deep. I can't imagine suffering without flinching. I have been hurt in my life and have a few scars in my body, and it hurt pretty bad, and sometimes it was pretty hard to sit still. I remember a trip to the hospital and I had a kidney stone and I couldn't sit still. I couldn't bend over. I couldn't do anything, and I got to the hospital and just fell on the floor because it hurt so bad. I can't imagine not flinching. You know, in thinking about that with Jesus on the cross, I've realized I can never enter in to the full extent of the suffering that he went through for my sin. Not only the physical pain that he went through, but he was forsaken by his Father. For all the wrath of God for my sin and your sin was cast on the Savior for us so we could be forgiven. That's a lot to take in. A lot to take in. You see, Jesus suffered without complaining or cursing to those who treated him so terrible through all the beatings, the mocking, and being nailed to a cross. We see it was because he was willing to suffer so mankind could be forgiven of our sins. And even though men beat him and had him held captive and put him on a cross, we read in John 10, 17 through 18, we are told that Jesus laid down his life that he might take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. Knowing all what he went through, he still went through with the plan that he had. We read in James chapter 1 and verse 12, it said, blessed is the man that endures trials, for when he is tried, he will receive a crown of life. What an example of suffering through trial Jesus was when he suffered on the cross. Imagine every ounce of energy was squeezed out of his body. He endured the pain and the suffering and everything that man could throw at him because, why? He loved you and me. The nails aren't what held my Savior to the cross. It was love for a lost man such as me. I'd like to look at our passage today in John chapter 19. We'll pick up with verse 28. We've been going over this series for a few weeks. And I hope we're really grasping the suffering and the love that Jesus had for us, because that's what this is all about. If he had not gone through that, you and I would be without hope. We read in John 19, we'll take verse 28 and we'll read two verses here. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with the sour wine and put it on a hyssop and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up the ghost. Jesus, knowing that all things have been accomplished, said, I thirst, that the scriptures may be fulfilled. It's interesting. It was talked about Wednesday night, the Bible study of all the prophecies that the Jewish people had in the Old Testament of the coming Messiah. And someone asked the question, how could they miss that? Let's turn back to Psalms 22. And we had before us on Wednesday night, Isaiah 53. Let's go back to Psalms 22. And I'd like to read part of this. This is talking about what the Savior would suffer. Well, I'm in Proverbs. Psalms 22, and we'll start at verse 6. Maybe be good just to maybe close your eyes and try to shut the world out and just think of a little bit of the suffering that is mentioned here. It says in verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out their lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. They let him deliver him since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb, and you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan had encircled me. They gaped at me with their mouth like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me, and the congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing did they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me, deliver me. What a picture of suffering. All of his joints, it says, were out of whack. His bones were showing. His heart had melted. To think that he came here to love mankind, and yet mankind rejected him. Not only that, but we are told in the beginning of this chapter that he was forsaken by God his Father. Why? Because God cannot look upon sin. All of man's sins, past, present, and future, had to be dealt with on the cross in order that sins could be washed away. Now we go back to John, our passage, John 19. We see that Jesus was given vinegar to drink. Can you imagine being so thirsty that your tongue stuck to the roof of your mouth? And so something sour was given, put on a sponge, and it was put on a long stick so it could reach his mouth. It was put on a sponge so that one hanging on the cross could suck that moisture out and relieve some of the dryness of mouth. And in some cases, I read that the Romans did this to prolong that person's agony and that suffering. You know, I was thinking about what Jesus said about being thirsty. I think it goes much deeper than the thirst from the mouth. I think he really thirsted after glorifying God. And the accomplishment of the work of our redemption and the happy issue that he was taking undertaking for mankind. He was thinking ahead. Couldn't wait to get through that so man's way of salvation could be provided for him. As mentioned before, it was love for you and me and the lost that he went through with what he went through. He could see ahead. As was mentioned earlier, he was in the glories before he came to this earth, walked on a planet, this planet, suffered, did all good, but he went back to the glory. He knows what it's like to be there. We don't know what it's like to be. We can only get glimpses. But he has assured us it's going to be something wonderful. I'm looking forward to that day. You know, as we read in James, that we are to endure through trials. We can only endure through the trials of this world if our thirst is quenched by the living water of Jesus and the Word. I can't make it without him. I don't have the power, and sometimes I don't have the willpower to go through what I've gone through in my life, but he's always been there for me. The thirst of wanting to be on the other side of our trial and being done with it. But that only comes by us totally trusting God, the Father, to give us the strength to endure the trial. Jesus accepted the sour results of our sin so we could receive the water of life that we need to receive. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, the sufferings we are passing through are not worthy to be compared with the glory that lies ahead for us. Wow. All we know is this world. And it's so easy sometimes to get down when troubles and trials happen in our life. Sometimes it's easy to forget where we're going to be. Someday we will forever be with our Lord if we've accepted him. Trials and suffering and pain and sickness will never touch us again. What a hope that we have. And in James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, tells us to count it all joy to suffer trials. Because if we seek God through it, it'll make us better in our walk down here on earth. You know, if we don't come through a trial of sickness and death comes, we can look forward to being in glory with our Savior forever. As one preacher put it, the best is yet to come, to be with our Lord forever. Isn't this what we as believers should be looking for? If we're not looking forward to being with our Savior and the Lord's coming, I think we better take a good look at what's inside of us. Because this is what it's all about. To share the gospel with those that are lost around us, so when Jesus comes, no one around us will be left behind. That's something that the Lord has asked us to do. And again, I say, there is nothing on earth that can compare to eternity in the heavens with our Savior and our Father. Now we come to verse 30, where our Savior says it is finished. All of the prophecies in the Old Testament have been fulfilled of the coming Messiah. We read in Psalms where he was thirsty. That was prophesied. As mentioned before, we can read the prophecies in Psalms, Isaiah, Genesis, and other books of the Old Testament that this Messiah was going to come. Sometimes I wonder why the Jews didn't get it, but sometimes I wonder why today people don't get it. It's so easy to look at the Jews and say, what was wrong with these people? They had the Old Testament. The scribes read it. The priests read it. What was their excuse? But you don't have to look very far to see how easy it is that our eyes get blinded. There's many today that their eyes are blinded and do not see that they need the redemption work that God Christ did on the cross to save their soul from what's going to come. We're told in Matthew 1:21 that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. What words of hope! The work on the cross was finally accomplished when he said it was finished. The redemption of sin can finally be applied. The way of salvation is complete. By repentance of our sins, we can have our sins forgiven. Jesus finished the work that he had come to this planet to do. The great thing about it is no longer was his blessing just for the Jews. It opened up the door for you and I, Gentiles, that we could be saved. We are reminded in Hebrews 9:27 that Jesus was offered once to bear the sins of many. No longer, after this point, was animal sacrifices needed to cover sin. Jesus was a sinless Lamb of God that was slain for our sins. The storm was over, the worst was past, and all his pain and agony were over. And we enter into paradise to be forever with the Father sitting on the right hand of God. The hardest part of our redemption and salvation was complete. A fatal blow to the power of Satan. The fountain of grace began to flow so we could be saved from the judgment of our sins. He rescued us from the clutches of Satan and hell. Once again, in thinking of the suffering that Jesus had gone through to redeem us and the price that was paid so we could be forgiven, when we come to Christ and receive him as Savior, he should become Lord of our lives. He paid the price so we could have a free gift, so we could walk in newness of life. We are asked in Romans 6, quite a chapter to read, how shall we who are died to sin live any longer in it? Through baptism, we had followed our Lord through death and resurrection and newness of life. Our desires should have changed. The ways of the world should not have any holding on us. We have been set free. We are no longer slaves to sin. We as believers are to obey our Lord's commands. It should be with a glad desire to follow him and be a shining light. Maybe we don't get a hold of that enough. The price that was paid for us. In closing, I'd like to read a few verses in Romans. Romans chapter 8. I've read these verses over and over again throughout the years I've known my Lord. Because of what he's done on the cross, Paul was able to pin these words in Romans chapter 8. We'll start with 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even on the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I love this verse. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or nakedness or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril of the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long and are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor depth or nor height nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is what God has intended for us. Many times we mope around, we complain. Why? Nothing can take what God has done for us away from us. And I thank God for that. Because if that was something that could be taken away, and it wasn't enough the work on the cross, then what use would I have to come here today? There'd be no use. But I come here because I know my Savior died for me. He paid my penalty of sin that I may be free. And someday soon, maybe today, that trumpet's going to sound and I'm out of here. I can't wait. To think we are justified, no longer condemned. Will you pray with me? Blessed Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you suffered and bled and died for our sins, that we could be forgiven, and that you took our punishment. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you died and the grave could not hold you, and you're on the right hand of the Father, waiting for that word to blow, that trumpet to blow, and we'll be called out of here. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hope that we have in you and what you have done for us, not anything that we have done. You have done it all. We just thank you and praise you. In your name, amen.